You're listening to the First Baptist Church Halton Sermon Podcast, where you'll hear encouraging and challenging messages from the leadership of our church. We hope these messages help you on your walk with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Man, I love that song. That's good. I like it. I like it. How are y'all? Good, good. You know, it looks beautiful in here, doesn't it? It's like Christmas happened since you were gone this past week, and everything got decorated, and I'm telling you, it takes a group of folks to do that, and we're so grateful for them coming and doing that. They volunteer, and actually, I don't know who all did it. I know two ladies that I saw, Miss Ann and Miss Dorothy, Miss Ann Harris, Miss Dorothy Bethay, decorate a lot of this, and so we're grateful for that, and I know they'd love you to help. Either next year or picking it up this year. Amen? Amen? That's good. That's good. All right. And Miss Ann gave me an amen. Look, I'll be looking for more of them during this sermon, Miss Ann. All right. So, all right. Hey, if you got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to continue what we started last week, Christmas. Finding Jesus in our celebration of Christmas. Finding Jesus in Christmas. It's easy for us, and really, when you look at the world, it's really easy for this world to celebrate Christmas and happy holidays and all of those things that are going on right now and completely miss what Christmas is all about. And so we started this last week. We're going to continue it on through Christmas morning on the 25th, and so I hope that you stay with us throughout. In fact, on Wednesday nights, we're even continuing it. We talked about Herod this past Wednesday night, and so we're just going to continue telling the story, and we're going to dig. We're digging, and we're going to find Jesus in Christmas. Now, last week, I used my nativity set. I brought it here, one of our three that we decorate our home with, and I want to move outside. A lot of you decorate for Christmas with lights on your house, and so I really want to talk about the light of Christmas. What's the significance of all of the lights of Christmas? And in Matthew chapter 2, he records to us the light, the original light of Christmas. And I believe every time we see a twinkling light, every time we, in fact, we've decorated our campus with lights this year as well. And so every time you see a light, it should draw you to that first light that the wise men followed. And so if you have your Bible, I want to look at a story I know you're very familiar with, but let's look at it from maybe some fresh eyes and a fresh perspective. Look at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now, we talked a little bit about this Wednesday, and I can't go back and tell you everything that we said, but Herod was Herod the Great. Herod was paranoid, probably clinically paranoid. He was afraid that somebody was going to take his throne. And in fact, he even killed family members that he thought would come and take his throne. And so the fact of the news that these men from the east came bearing, and really when you look at this story, it points to his paranoia. Herod, though, was occupying a throne that didn't belong to him. Herod was not an Israelite. He wasn't in the line of David. He wasn't of the seed of David. Herod should not have been the king in Israel. He wasn't even an Israelite. He was an Edomite, and he is occupying the Israelite throne in Jerusalem. And so what's fascinating, and this isn't my sermon, this is just extra, what's fascinating is the king. There was a king in Israel. He wasn't crowned as king. He was a carpenter. He lived in a little no-way place called Nazareth. His name was Joseph. He was in the line and the lineage of David. And Joseph, who would raise the Messiah in his home, should have been occupying the throne in Israel. He should have been the king. And yet Herod the Great had occupied the throne that should have been Joseph's. Really interesting when you look at all of this. Well, keep reading. I don't know why you keep stopping me. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Bethlehem means the house of bread. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Now, this next statement that I'm going to read, I'm telling you, sometimes when I read my Bible, it's just as if something that I have read over so many times pops off the page. Now, this is the statement that popped off the page to me this year. Look at what it says. "For we have seen his star." That's fascinating to me. These men, wise men, probably from Babylon, pagan men, have followed a light all the way to Jerusalem, and they identified that light as his star. "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief scribes, or the priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Herod had no idea, and so he gathered the chief priests together, and they reminded him of a passage in Micah, and they read that to him. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not of the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And so this paranoid king Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That's all I want to talk about this morning, those 10 verses. Let me pray for us and we'll dig in. God, I pray that you'd take your word and you would use it to pierce our hearts. God, in a story that we look at on a yearly basis, Father, that some of us have seen this and looked at it scores of times. And God, we've picked it apart from every angle. We've looked at it from every angle that we possibly can. God, I pray today, Father, that you would show us this with brand new eyes as if we'd never seen it before. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use me this morning. Fill me with your spirit, Father, that people would not see me, hear me, but, Father, they would hear you. God, fill me in such a way, Father, that it is not about me, and it's all about you. God, I pray, Father, this Christmas, as we make much about King Jesus, Lord, that we would lift him up and you would draw people unto yourself. We love you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think through some things with me this morning. First of all, I want you to think about the facts surrounding his star. So some of these facts that we may have to pull from other places rather than scripture, maybe some historical things, maybe some things that when we talk about facts, the facts that from astrology and those type of things, this star, this light in the sky, that many times these men, these wise men were called astrologers from the east because they followed a star. I don't know if they were astrologers. I know that they had a message that undoubtedly God had sent them a message. It could have been out of Numbers chapter 14. Somebody could have told them about a star that would rise, and maybe it was that. Maybe it was the hope of a Messiah, the hope of a king. For whatever reason, they left where they lived and they followed a light that was in the sky. Now this light, many people have tried to make this light planets, Jupiter aligning with Mercury and shining so brightly that that it would draw people's attention to it. Some people have tried to make it stars or even comets. They had said that it could have been like a Halley's Comet that moved through. And then that, you know, we don't know everything about that. I know that a comet traveling would have had to make their traveling rather swift and quick. They were on foot or maybe camels at best. Traveling, in fact, the distance here, if we just look at the facts surrounding this star, if they were in Babylon, the shortest distance would have been 400 miles. The longest distance, some people believe they traveled, was up to 900 miles. On the hope of a message that they heard and believed in, but yet it wasn't anything that they had, was a foundational faith that they had. They were pagans in Babylon, and they traveled anywhere from 400 to 900 miles because it doesn't really give us their address, so we're having to speculate how far. And on foot, if it was the shortest distance, it would have taken them up to a month to get there. If it was the longest distance, 4 to 5 months traveling from the east, it's capitalized east, could be the Far East, Near East, Babylon, even wherever. These men traveled with a hope in their heart and something before them that was, listen, here's the deal. Could have been a planet, could have been a comet. More than likely, it was a supernatural light. It was in its own orbit. Wasn't moving with the rest of the world's stars, the galaxy's stars, or even its planets. It was in its own orbit, and it seemed to be set and moving in the direction where the one who created it was being born. It's fascinating when we think about this, that these men, and sometimes we say it was three guys, and the only reason the tradition is that it's three is because of the gifts. They bore three gifts. They brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Listen, the wise women showed up later. They had brought diapers, formula, and a casserole, okay? But the wise men brought to a baby, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's a whole message in the gifts of Christmas. We'll talk about that later. But here's these guys, and the tradition is, even one tradition is that they were three kings. We sing the song. It's really not biblical, but we sing it. It's a traditional song. We three kings of Orient are. Some tradition is that they were kings. It doesn't tell us that. In fact, rather than being three, I believe it was a caravan of people coming from the east, traveling a long distance, anywhere from 400 to 800-900 miles, because of hope that they had in their heart to find a baby that was born. And I'll tell you what's fascinating about some of these things that Matthew is writing to us. A baby that was born a king. Now, we're so used to saying that, born a king. Babies aren't born kings. Babies are born princes. But Jesus was born a king. He was born a king. And so when these men left their home and traveled bearing much, and when we think of a little thing one person could carry of gold or frankincense and myrrh, it could have been camel loads of this stuff that they brought for this family in honor as a sacrifice, in honor of the one that they had hope for, having never seen, yet gave up a lot and gave up their lives and their livelihood to come so far to sacrifice for a baby was born a king. That's incredible when we dig into this story. And so when they got to Jerusalem, they asked this question, and probably they had a handful of leaders in this entourage or this caravan of people from the east, and they came to Jerusalem because the star stopped there. The star stopped in Jerusalem, and when they got to Jerusalem, it was the city of religion. And they showed up asking questions. Where is the baby that was born king of the Jews? And that question stirred up a lot of turmoil in that city. Because not only did it say that Herod became troubled, but all of the city of Jerusalem became troubled just by that one question. So we see the facts, just the Joe Friday, right? Just the facts, ma'am. The facts of surrounding his star. I want you to see the following of his star. And I'll tell you, boys, this is one of those sermons for me. It was so much fun to pack that I have prayed that I would be able to unload it where you could get everything that just blessed my heart this week as I studied. So I want us to look at following his star. When these men made a decision to follow his star, the star led them to Jerusalem. And watch this, the star stopped. It stopped over the city of Jerusalem, which was the hub of religion. They show up. And in the hub, the city of religion, and if they're following the star to find the king, they would have to go to the palace. And so they go to the palace and they ask the question, where's the king? The king, if the king is born, the king's got to be born somewhere in the palace. And so they show up at Jerusalem, the hub of religion, and they're looking for a king born, a baby king, a child king. And watch this. It led them to religion. Religion is a substitute for the real thing. Jerusalem was a substitute for the real thing. I wrote this statement this week. I want you to catch this. They were not looking for a religion to submit to, but a savior to surrender to. I'm going to give that to you one more time because you want to write that down. I didn't read that somewhere until I wrote it right here. I believe God gave me that this week. I want you to write this down because it may be the best thing. There's not a lot of good things. That may be the best thing I'm going to say all morning. They were not looking for a religion to submit to. Isn't it sad that much of this world is looking for a religion to submit to? We settle for religion. We settle for the I dotting and the T crossing. We as human beings, though drawn to our Creator for a relationship, oftentimes on our journey to Him, we settle and stop just short of Him, and we settle for religion. That's where the wise men were at this story. They were just short of Jesus. They were just short of finding him, and they stopped in Jerusalem, and for a moment, they were looking in the hub of religion, but they weren't looking to substitute. They weren't looking for the substitute of religion. They were looking for a savior that they could surrender to. They had prepared, they had brought, they had journeyed, and they were looking for one that they could surrender their life to. I tell you, many people, and look, let's just be honest, it's just us girls here this morning, many people in this room, you may have even settled with religion. It's just so much easier just to join a church than to submit and to follow and surrender your life to Jesus. It's so much easier to be in a church member. I mean, here's the deal. What are the requirements for being a member of First Baptist Halton? You can't join another group with less requirements. Listen, you cannot join a social group in our community with less requirements than it takes to join First Baptist Halton. Well, we try to put teeth to some of the membership responsibilities here, and we say, hey, go to a connection class. We want to teach you what First Baptist Halton's all about. We want to connect you with people in a small group so that when life falls apart, you can walk through that with each other. And we try to put some teeth to membership. But listen, this is all it takes. You can walk this aisle this morning and say, hey, I've trusted Christ and I've been baptized and I want to be a member of First Baptist Halton. We will write a letter to the church that you were baptized in. They will write a letter back, and guess what? You'll be a member. And that membership has zero requirements. We don't send you a bill every month. Could you imagine how many of you would leave if we treated you like Anytime Fitness does? Or the golf course? Can you imagine how many of you would get on Facebook and say, I cannot believe it, First Baptist Halton has sent me a bill. You can join and be a member of First Baptist Halton and get all of the benefits without any requirements. You can be a member here. No bills. Listen, no attendance requirements. You don't have to show up. You can just bless us with your presence on a quarterly basis. Just so we remember your face. There's no requirements for membership. Listen, religion's easy. Religion's easy. You can come and jump through a hoop of religion. You can join a church. In fact, you can come and you can even be baptized and jump through that hoop of religion and never just fall short of finding Jesus. You can come just a little bit short. The wise men showed up at Jerusalem and they found a religion, but they weren't looking for that. But watch this, they found a king they weren't looking for too. I'm talking about a generic king. Y'all like generic things? My wife, she's thrifty. I'm telling you, when I grew up, my mama, she bought name brand stuff. She spoiled me. My mama spoiled me. And she went to Brookshire. She bought Kraft macaroni and cheese, right? She bought Hamburger Helper, right? She bought the name brand stuff. My wife, in an attempt to save money, brings home Pan Burger Partner. My mama would buy Nutty Buddies. You know them little ice cream cones with the chocolate on them and the little... No, my wife brings Peanut Butter Pals. My mama would bring Cheerios with the hero on the box. My wife, toasted holes, right? Generic. Generics aren't nearly as fun as the real thing. The wise men showed up to Jerusalem. They found a religion they weren't looking for. They found a king they weren't looking for. They found a sham. They found a king. He was generic. He wasn't the one that would offer the hope that they had traveled so far to find. But you know what? Kings are just like that in this life. Kings in this world are temporary. They offer temporary happiness. Just as religion can change some things about us, maybe our morals, maybe our calendar, maybe the event that we do on Sunday, religion oftentimes can make us somewhat a little more decent with our vocabulary or our actions. Religion can oftentimes lead to us being judgmental or pharisaical. Cynical. We look at the world from an ivory tower when we bought into religion. Well, temporary kings can make us something. They can make us materialistic, self-centered, selfish. We look at this world for what we can gain when we run after generic kings. This world offers all kinds of kings for us to bow down and worship to. Kings that would offer us or supply us some type of feeling or emotion. Maybe we run after the king of materialism and where we would live and what kind of house we'd live in or what kind of car we would drive or what kind of clothes that we would wear. Those materialistic, temporary, generic kings offer, they promise us a lot, but offer us very little. So they showed up to Jerusalem looking for the baby that was born the king, and they intersect, they found themselves in a place of religion with a generic king, and they realized this was not the place, this was not the king that they were looking for. And so that star led them to Jerusalem, it led them to Herod, and then ultimately it led them to Jesus. Verse 10 to me is one of the coolest verses in the story. It says, so undoubtedly, when they get to Jerusalem, the star disappeared. I mean, we can try to explain this from physical things. I don't think this is physical. I think it's supernatural. We could say it was overcast and they couldn't see the star anymore. They traveled not just by night. They followed this star by day. And so while they were in Jerusalem, the star disappeared. Once they met with Herod and they decided to travel on, the star reappeared. Look at verse 9. It says in this that when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and it stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they realized where they were in Jerusalem and it wasn't what they were looking for, when the star reappeared, it filled their heart with joy because they realized they had not yet found him. Now, church, you got to get this. They had just traveled 400 to 900 miles over a month to 5 months worth journey on foot, and they almost made it because Bethlehem is 6 miles from Jerusalem. Jerusalem's here on this hill. Bethlehem is 6 miles, 5.5, really. I mean, you and I could leave here walking in the time that we could get to Calumet or Eastwood Baptist Church. We would get there. Just Google it. It probably, to walk 5.5 miles takes about 2 hours. They had just journeyed up to 5 months, and they almost could have settled for religion like most people do. They could have settled for a generic king and offering him and sacrificing to him. But when the star appeared, it filled them with exceedingly great joy, and they walked and they continued another 2 hours, and they got to Bethlehem. The place of bread, the house of bread, where the one who would be called the bread of life showed up to this world. And they followed the star, and it led them ultimately to Jesus. Here's a question before we move further. I want you to answer this because I can't answer it for you. Have you settled for religion? Have you settled with just being a member of a church? Because religion, really all it offers you is a bunch of rules, maybe some social events, a group of people to run around with and maybe do life with, but religion really doesn't offer you the hope that you're looking for. Have you settled for I-dotting and T-crossing? Have you settled for a list of rules? Have you settled for at making clean up some things about your life, the outward things, but it really holds no hope for your future? Have you settled for worshiping a generic king when Jesus is just a few more steps away from you? Have you settled in with just being satisfied with paying your bills, a group of people, rules to make you moral? Are you fine with being in Jerusalem with Herod? What's keeping you from going a little further and finding Jesus? Because watch this, where Jesus is, it's a life filled with exceedingly great joy. Now, religion will give you morals. These generic kings cannot maybe offer you some happiness, but King Jesus can give you joy in the midst of your life and your circumstance. Here's the last thing I want you to see in this passage this morning. We looked at the facts surrounding the star. We looked at following his star and how they followed his star and where they followed his star and where we follow the star oftentimes. And I want you to look at becoming a follower of the star. Jesus would say, in fact, it was said of him in John chapter 1 last week, that Jesus was the light of the world. It's in three chapters over in Matthew when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount in verse 14. He told his disciples, "You're the light of the world." Jesus came into this world to be the light of the world. And then he shared with his disciples, "Because I'm the light of the world, you are to be the light of the world." Listen to what verse 14 says of Matthew chapter 5. "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus Christ came to this world as the light of the world so that when we find him and follow him, we'll take his light everywhere we go in this life. We'll take his light to work with us. We take his light out into this community with us, to the restaurants that we go to our neighborhoods, to the people who live beside us, for the folks that we come in contact with. Becoming a follower of the star changes our life, and religion won't do that. You carry religion out into this world, the world doesn't want it. It's not attractive. People don't want religion. People want a relationship with the King that came to be born so that they can have hope. Now watch this. This is my favorite part of this. I want you to turn your Bible real quick to Philippians chapter 2. Take a right real quick. Look, I need to hear you. Go with me. Don't just trust me. I could lead you astray really easily. I'm not going to do that. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I want you to read verse 14 with me. Let's read it together. We're going to go to one other place after this, so just get ready. Then you go to life group. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the church of Philippi. "Believers who are the lights of the world, light bearers," listen to what he says, "do all things without complaining and disputing." Listen, some of y'all need to underline that one. Okay? Do all things, not some things, not 90% of the time. He said, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." Do we live in that generation? Yes. Listen to what he says, "among whom you shine as stars in the world." My name is New King James says light. Translations translate that as stars. "Among whom you shine as stars in this world." God sent Jesus, the light of the world, into this world so that we might follow the star, so that we would be lights of the world. And that this world would see in us something different, that we're not about religion. We have not submitted to a religion, but we have surrendered to our Savior. And because of that, we shine differently in this world than the rest of this world does. Now, my favorite thing about the whole message, and you got to hurry and read this because I'm running out of time. Turn in the book of Daniel. I told you a few weeks ago that I'm going to preach through the book of Daniel next. We're going to start it in January. We're going to go through the book of Daniel and reading through this. I found this in Daniel chapter 12. It's the last chapter of Daniel. It's on page 620 in the Old Testament. We've got my same Bible. The book of Daniel chapter 12. Please look at this with me. Look at what it says. This is prophecy about the time that you and I are living in. "At that time, Michael, the angel, shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Look at verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Church, our following of King Jesus should literally impact this world that we're living in. Here's some thoughts really quick. I got to ask myself this question, and you do too. Is my life shining brightly for Jesus? Is it pointing people to the light of the world? If not, I may be fine living in Jerusalem, being a church member, serving and worshiping generic kings, rather than going all in, rather than surrendering my life to King Jesus. You see, a surrendered life to King Jesus is a life that shines like the firmament. In the end days, just like Daniel's prophesying, in the end days, those who have surrendered their life to King Jesus will shine, and many will come to him because of their light. Church, we got to ask ourselves that question, don't we? That's something each of us have to answer. Am I just a church member? Am I hinging all my eternity on whether I was raised in some denomination, whether I was a Catholic or maybe I was Episcopalian or a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever title we put on it? Are we hinging our eternity on a membership to a group of organized religion, or have we gone a little further and surrendered to King Jesus? Listen, that's what's required of our life. That's the hope that those men left home looking for. They didn't settle. Why would you? Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I pray today that we would see clearly the truth of your word. And just as those men gave up everything to follow his star that brought them to your son, God, I pray, Father, that maybe this Christmas we would see Jesus. Maybe this Christmas that we would stop settling for the counterfeit and we would surrender to King Jesus. God, I pray for every person that's in this room, if they need to trade in religion for having a relationship with King Jesus. God, I pray that happens today. I pray, Lord, that your spirit moves. Just as your star drew, your spirit draws us to him, illuminating him, showing us him. And God, what a picture of the Holy Spirit that this star was. And God, I pray, Father, that you would move in this room in such a way, God, that folks would come being drawn by your spirit to King Jesus. God, I pray, Father, for some of us in this room who, Lord, our stars have shone brighter in past days than they're shining right now. God, we allow junk into our life that hinders you from coming out. And God, I pray, Father, that we would do business with you today, whatever it takes. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our stars would shine bright. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to the First Baptist Church Halton Sermon Podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, check us out at fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.